Today, I'm joined by Heidi Clopton to talk about the Dream Cooperative and the impact it's having on entrepreneurs and small business owners in our region. We'll discuss how this collaborative community is helping connect business owners with resources, mentorship, and meaningful relationships while encouraging them to both grow professionally and personally. If you've ever wondered how collaboration can strengthen local businesses and create new opportunities, I think you'll really enjoy today's conversation. Hi, Heidi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
I'm excited.
I am super excited to hear about the Dream Cooperative.
Absolutely. We're excited to tell everyone all about it.
Yeah. So tell me, first of all, tell me what it is.
Sure. So after being an occupational therapist in the area for over 28 years now, I had so many clients that I had treated that I saw getting into their mid-20s. And some into their 30s, and saying, you know, coming back to me or seeing them at an event with Rising Above or something and saying, you know, Miss Heidi, you know, I need more to do. You know, I miss therapy. I miss working in the kitchen with you. I miss learning life skills. And so I started looking at our community, and I feel like there is a vast need for more to do once they get out of school system. You know, their day is filled with academics, and they're working on life skills there often in special ed. And we have the Exceptional Bean, which is absolutely amazing, but they have a lot of people that want to be there. And I think there's room for more in the Upper Cumberland to do more. And so Dream Cooperative is basically, we are working, we've already started life skills classes in the kitchen. So we teach nutritional cooking. So everything's healthy, gluten-free, preservative-free, dye-free, MSG-free, all that. So we teach healthy cooking. So it's kind of a class on nutrition, but we also teach them skills on how to cook, because that was the number one thing when we interviewed all the individuals that wanted to come to our classes. That was the number one thing everyone wanted to do, was learn how to cook and bake. So we've been doing those all summer. It's been going great.
Where are you doing these at?
We are currently doing them at my office, Centers of Development, but we have a tiny kitchen that can only hold about 5 people. So I just had an amazing meeting yesterday with First Methodist Church in Allgood, and they are going to open up their doors to us and the autism community and the neurodiverse community. So we're going to have a huge kitchen to move in there. And then also in Sparta, we're working with the Healing Grove Collective, and they're building out their basement to have like a life skills place down there, like a mini apartment and a big community kitchen type. And so we're hoping to expand to lots of different communities, because we have found that it's hard for people to get to us. So a lot of our older individuals, adults living in the group homes, they can't get to us. So we're also looking at going into the group homes and working on these skills. So we're also doing music and art classes and crafting and movement and exercise and yoga and all kinds of stuff.
So, wow. Yeah. Wow. So you are an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You're a licensed occupational therapist. Mm-hmm. You are now the founder of a nonprofit.
Yes.
Do you feel like you kind of, you get antsy in what you're doing and you want to do more, like, or so, you feel like you're just led to do more?
I'm definitely led. I do feel like I'm led. I get ideas, and then kind of things, people start to come to me and just kind of fall in my lap with skills. And I have a team, like people have just like come and said, I'll be a teacher for this, I'll be a teacher for that. And so I do think it's a leading to do that. But also, after running a business for 28 years, I stopped treating a year ago, which I became a true admin office manager. And we opened up a second location and got that done last summer. And I have great team leads, and it just kind of opened up time and thought. Like, the creative process in my brain could work again. I wasn't doing paperwork every day. And, you know, evaluations and treatment take a lot of time to plan and put on paper for insurance. And all of a sudden, it's like this creative part of my brain, like, was functioning again. And I was like, oh, we could do this and this and this, and just got excited about what could be created for our community.
You know, when you look back, being in business for, did you say 28 years? That's crazy.
Yep.
But let's, you know, think of like 18-year-old Heidi mm-hmm. that probably, you know, just really wanted to help people and you just mm-hmm. wanted to, you know, be this therapist mm-hmm. and kind of where you're at and you've hired people and you have two locations mm-hmm. and did you think that this was possible or how do you think you got to this place? Because 18-year-old Heidi probably mm-mm. had no idea that
no.
you thought you would just do what you're supposed to do. You,
sure.
you go get your degree, you get a job, sure. you work for somebody, you know.
Absolutely. So it kind of came out of desperation. I am a very safe personality. I would never take out a business loan if it wasn't for my husband. Like, you can do this, you know, like I would have played it safe and I probably would have worked for someone else. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's because of my husband. He's more of the, you can do this. And then desperation came when I had canceled all of my school contracts when I was pregnant with my first daughter, Ella Grace. And I wanted to stay at home. And then my husband lost his job and I had to go to work. So mm-hmm. I couldn't go back to the school contracts because they had already picked someone else. And so that's when Jason and I said, we've got to start our own practice. Mm-hmm. So it was out of desperation. And little Ella Grace was there with me at the office every day. And I was breastfeeding and just making it work mm-hmm. and doing paperwork when she went to bed at night. And just, you know, did what we did had to do to make our business work. But I'm so grateful now. It's allowed me to have flexible hours, to be, you know, with my kids growing up. And it's allowed me to run a business the way I know a business should be run.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been great.
Well, and I think, you know, you just don't always think entrepreneurship is the way for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start, you know, it so mm-hmm. you know, kind of having all those other elements of things. So you had this business expanded, and is it who are your potential customers, clients?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, tell me a little bit, I guess, about mm-hmm. occupational therapy and who you're mm-hmm. seeing at the center or who you had been working mm-hmm. with.
Sure.
For those people who don't understand occupational
sure.
therapy.
Absolutely. So in therapy, in pediatric therapy, we get referrals for any type of delay. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a big, what we call organic lifelong diagnosis like autism or Down syndrome, but it can be, and it often mm-hmm. is. But a lot of times we get referrals just because someone has a delay in their skills. So that can be, you know, their what we call activities of daily living, which is getting dressed, making your own food. You know, everyone, you know, as a parent, you see these developmental checklists of my mm-hmm. child should be doing this by this age. So a lot of times we get referrals without a diagnosis just because they have a delay in a mm-hmm. certain area. So occupational therapy in particular focuses on what is your occupation? Well, if you're 8 years old, your occupation is to go to school and maybe play sports and help mom with a few things. So we focus on, well, what is an 8-year-old supposed to be doing? And we help them develop those skills. And then so with Dream Cooperative, it's more our teens because they don't want to come into the pediatric therapy center anymore because they know they're older and they're like, well, this isn't cool. You know, there's swings and therapy balls everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I've noticed that a lot of our teens and obviously going into adults don't want to come to the center anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, man, it'd be great if we had somewhere else that was more like an adult place, you know, it just is an apartment or a kitchen or a center where they could come and actually work on real life skills.
What was the basis? Because you could just have started a new business, mm-hmm. another business, mm-hmm. another for-profit mm-hmm. business. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that choice to do a nonprofit
sure.
as a 501c3 instead of a for-profit business.
Right. Basically, this is my passion project. This hopefully will be my legacy. And I didn't want to gain profit from it. God has blessed me with a business that is doing well. And it was just my gift kind of back to the community. Secondly, I knew that the families that are on 10 care that we serve, I mean, 90% of what we serve, they're either on 10 care or Katie Beckett waivers. They're not paying cash out of pocket for any of these activities. And so I knew that there wasn't any kind of state funding for this that we could apply for. So I knew it'd have to be donations. It would have to be fundraising.
And there's a big void, from what I understand, of the special needs community mm-hmm. After maybe 21. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Of just, okay, we've kind of kept you under this umbrella for mm-hmm. this long. Now
right.
you're 21.
Mm-hmm.
there's a cliff. Hopefully we'll hold you back. But there's not, you know, and I think, you know, CG England with the Exceptional Being has talked a lot about that of just how do we create work environments? How do we create even just the Exceptional Being as a place to gather for folks of all ages where it's not just it's not so much kid stuff.
Right.
Have you kind of noticed that void for a long time now?
Yes, I was so excited when Exceptional Being opened, but I knew it wouldn't be enough. I knew that we needed more in our community. And, you know, we have Rising Above, which is amazing, but they're more, you know, big events, you know, seasonal events. And for the families and the support there and the ministry they provide is amazing, but it's not day in, day out. So my big dream with the Dream Cooperative is to have like a community center, to have a place where a new family moves into Cookeville and they have special needs and they can go to one place. They can get all the resources they need, a list of resources. They could meet people there. There would be activities going on all day long for individuals to come and do. And they, my big thing is when we have a dreamer come in is we do an interview and we do like an intake questionnaire. And the first question is, what do you love to do? I was on the phone for an hour yesterday with a new family that just moved here. Zach is 30. And I said, well, what does he love to do? And he said, you're the first person that's ever asked that. I said, well, how does he communicate? And we had a long conversation about how animals are his thing. And he probably won't have a conversation with you unless you start talking about animals or music.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's coming to our class tomorrow. We're doing a therapeutic drumming class. And I could hear him on the speaker in the background. And he, therapeutic drumming, yay, yay. He was so excited.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this dad was like, it's been so hard to just figure out who does what in this community. And so I think it'd be a beautiful thing in the future to have like a one-stop, you know, actual place where people could come and get connected to all the awesome things we do have, but just kind of have their own community resource center, community center where there's pickleball going on or basketball or cooking classes and music and art and all those things.
We're going to have more with Heidi Clopton in just a second. Welcome back this morning. I am Tiffany Anton, and I'm here with Heidi Clopton from the Dream Cooperative. Tell me about the name. Why the Dream Cooperative?
It's kind of funny. I'm a Dave Matthews fan, and so is my husband. And so he's always called me his dream girl, and he's Smooth Rider. And even on our cars, if you see our cars around town, we have that on our license plates. But as I was thinking about it, every family I talk to would say, you know, my dream is, my child's dream is, our dream is. And then I was like, well, I'm already Dream Girl. It's already on my car. Why not call it Dream Cooperative?
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, I wanted to name the individuals coming something other than, you know, they're not clients, they're not patients. A lot of people say friend, which is great. On the Avenue in Nashville is a good friend of mine, Tom Woodard, and they call them citizens. They come. But I thought, well, why can't they be dreamers?
Yeah.
And then our people that are funding us, you know, are our dream makers. And so it was an easy thing because of Dream Girl, I guess.
Yeah. And that it just it is a fun way. And so when you are involved in the special needs community, I think there's a lot of people that don't want to jump in because it's scary. It's fearful. You know, when you mentioned your newest dreamer, Zach, who's 30, who, you know, probably communicates at a, you know, maybe a teenager level. And so then it's like, well, what if I say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing? And I think fear holds people back a lot. First of all, where did you get the passion to say, I'm going to break through that fear, or I'm not, maybe you don't even, never had those fears, but to learn, because it is just a learning skill of like, how do I best communicate with people who don't communicate like me?
My first experience with that was I had an older cousin, Shelly, and I grew up with her, playing with her. It wasn't until we were growing up in Florida. I went back. I grew up with her till I was like six. We moved away, came back. I was like 10 or 12 and realized that she had profound special needs. She's what we would call ID, intellectual disability, and microcephaly. When I came back, I was like, well, I didn't see her any differently. I played with her typically when I was younger. And then when I came back, I was like, well, we can still, you know, do the same things we used to do. It's just that I was more aware of the difference. Mm-hmm. But then I started volunteering with special ed type activities and did the sports activities and did all kinds of stuff in Chattanooga with them. And it's just easy once you get over your own fear. Mm-hmm. They're not fearful of you typically. They just want you to ask, you know, how are you today?
What are your dreams?
What do you like to talk about? And if they are nonverbal, you can ask the parent, you know, would they like to see pictures of my cat or dog on my phone? Like, a lot of them have passions that are animals, or maybe they're passionate about music and you could just play a song on your phone and it would make them smile and laugh. And so finding what they are passionate about and what engages them and makes them happy really helps.
One of the things I think that I've learned along the way is that just because somebody's brain is not wired the way mm-hmm. mine is, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that there's not still things going on in that brain.
Right, absolutely.
And I think sometimes people can tend to talk around mm-hmm. a person, you know, mm-hmm. if there's somebody sitting in the room with you and
don't
it's like,
do that.
You, yeah, well, I don't know how to communicate with that person,
right.
So I'm going to, but it, you know, I think some of it's just a learning.
Yes, it is.
And
you know, that's one thing. We need volunteers with the Dream Cooperative. We would love to have more volunteers and we will help you with that, you know, and just being around them and talking to them like a normal human, you know, and not talking over them, not, you know, ignoring them and not talking to the person next to them and ignoring them, you know, hey, you look so, I love that shirt. You know, your hair is beautiful. Just like you would say to someone you passed in Walmart that you hadn't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. Think about those types of things. And, you know, are you having a great day today? And maybe they'll smile. And we call it, you know, nonverbal communication mm-hmm. is still communication. So,
well, and I think how much better would we be as humans in mm-hmm. general if mm-hmm. we just, you know, kind of took nonverbal cues, mm-hmm. if we paid mm-hmm. more attention to the way our behavior was, mm-hmm. the way other people behaved. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to learn from the special needs community.
Absolutely.
And it's not something to kind of write off and say, well, mm-hmm. you know, I think there's just a lot to learn and we could just be better humans overall.
Absolutely. And there's simple joys, you know, that so excited about things that we should probably still be excited about. You
yeah.
know, it doesn't take a lot to make them smile. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
How often do we forget we get to, you know, take an hour out of our day to go to a drum therapy mm-hmm. session?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That should be something great.
Sure.
And I think sometimes it's like, I don't have time for that. I'm mm-hmm. overscheduled. I got to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget that's slow down at mm-hmm. aspect of life.
Absolutely. And the therapeutic drumming, a lot of people don't even know what that is, but it's the tongue drum, the panda drums, mm-hmm. or some people call them rain drums. And they actually release a hertz that is known to be a calming sound. Mm. So even if they mess up or you were to come in and have your first class, no matter what you hit on that drum, it's going to be calming to your brain.
Mm.
And so it's so beautiful. We're trying to teach them actual songs. We're doing color coded music, and Jamie Ray Friedel is our teacher. She's absolutely amazing. But no matter what they hit on that drum, when we do our first concert, it's going to sound beautiful and you're going to be calmed by it. So we're really excited. But yes, everyone should take time to enjoy things that make us happy.
Yeah. And we overschedule ourselves mm-hmm. and we're mm-hmm. not nice people sometimes
yeah.
when we do that. What's your biggest need for the Dream Cooperative right now?
So funding is our biggest need. We need funding. We ask a donation to cover the cost of the drums. They're $65 a piece. So when people come to class, we have a suggested donation of $10. But, you know, I have to pay a teacher to be there. There's prep that goes into it. The food is very expensive because we're doing the highest level, you know, organic, healthy foods. So when we ask for a donation when you come, we don't require it. It's just a suggestion to help us cover our costs. Mm-hmm. But in order to do more classes and get more teachers in there, I would love to have some money in the bank so that we could really expand and do more.
What do you think? What's your vision? What's your dream for the Dream Cooperative?
Money or just overall?
Let's say you right. could have any. You have $10 million that is brought to
great.
You. Then what happens?
Oh, my goodness. So I've had a lot of families come to me with this idea, and I love it. Having an entire community, maybe tiny homes where they have a community center. Mm. They have places that would sell goods that maybe they would make, have a big greenhouse where we could sell plants and maybe go decorate doctor's offices and give them jobs and skills, but have a big community where we were all, you know, having a dance on Friday night, and then we're going to cook supper on Sunday and have mm-hmm. this community that lives together and a big community center in the center of it.
I'm guessing in 28 years, you've seen the resources, the skills, the tools, the mm-hmm. even the expectations that, mm-hmm. you know, I would imagine 30 years ago, mm-hmm. there was a lot less of what people thought abilities that you could bring out of a special needs community.
Absolutely.
How has that changed mm-hmm. over time for you?
So a lot of people were just coming out of institutions. When mm-hmm. My first job as a therapist, I was working for Orange Grove Center, which the state had demanded. There was a big lawsuit. And so they were all in an institution, basically getting no skills, just sitting there. And they were coming out of that into group homes. So I was on one of the first physical nutritional management teams where we took someone that had been in an institution and they went into a group home and we helped give them skills. And we were working on, you know, they need something to do today other than to watch TV, you mm-hmm. know, and it was awesome. It was a great mm-hmm. experience. And so, yes, I've seen people from being placed into an institution, basically seen as not able to do anything, to now we have, you know, all these awesome places that do employ individuals with special needs. And there's donut shops and coffee shops and, you know, all kinds of businesses that are popping up employing special needs.
We're going to talk more about those community partners when we get back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton, and I'm here this morning with Heidi Clopton of the Dream Cooperative. We were talking about kind of employment and community partners. Tell me a little bit about, you know, we know that the exceptional being exists. Mm-hmm. What other community partners and people who are worried about hiring mm-hmm. different skill levels and abilities for mm-hmm. people, what can you tell people who are listening about, you know, community partnerships that you're sure. looking for or that already mm-hmm. exist?
So we are looking for community partners, businesses that are willing to hire individuals with special needs or different abilities. There are some grants out there with American Job Center, and Luke Eldridge and I have talked about how there is help out there financially for those businesses. And so what we would like to do with Dream Cooperative is, you know, have a business reach out to us and say we're willing to hire these individuals and tell us what skills that individual would need. And then we would match the individual that wants to do that. Number one, they have to have a desire and love to do that and an ability in that area. We're not going to throw someone in there if they don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. But kind of match those community partners with our dreamers and then train them. And so we could practice training. I had an individual before he went to Exceptional Being that was in under me as an occupational therapist. And so we did coffee orders around the clinic and we exchanged money and we learned to froth and we did all those things before I sent him to Exceptional Being. And so I would love to do that with other businesses and help them learn those skills before they come.
Well, and you said that, you know, you have partners and volunteers that would be willing mm-hmm. to kind of job shadow
sure.
while they're learning the skill mm-hmm. on the job training mm-hmm. Or, you know, on call if there's something that I think there's just so much fear that people have of what happened, you know, okay, I have somebody that's working for me and things aren't going right. What do I do now? And you want to be that resource that people can call.
And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as saying, it's okay to take a break. You are allowed to ask for a break and have in a quiet, you know, back room they can go to. They can put on their headphones, listen to their own music, and just take a sensory break. And then sometimes it's shortened hours, you know, that they need. Sometimes it's a visual schedule. So a lot of what we're doing in the cooking classes is we do a visual exact picture of all their steps instead of words. And so that could be done at any job. We've done office work skills. You know, everyone hates to shred at my office. So we have our dreamers come in and help with shredding, and they love it. They go in the back room, they put their headphones on, and they love the repetition of it. And I hate it. And everyone else hates it, but they love it. So, you know, filing, those types of things. But yeah, we would love to be able to work with some businesses.
One of the things you mentioned, too, is you mentioned Rising Above. We mentioned the Exceptional Being. Sometimes when you're in a space, you've started a nonprofit. I love this about our community because I don't feel like we're this way. But it feels like, well, I'm not going to do that because, you know, Rising Above kind of touches into that that category. So tell me a little bit about how do you feel like you all have your own space? You collaborate together.
Yes. I mean, I have a great relationship. I helped co-found Rising Above with Jeff and Becky. I was John Alex's OT, and that's how it came to be. And so Jeff, you know, and Becky have been in my life the whole time I've been in the Upper Cumberland. And but yes, Becky is well aware of what I'm working on. Dawn Fry is on our board, and she's obviously very involved with Rising Above and on their board as well. And CG and Michael know what I'm doing. And I think we all agree the more the better in this community. We need to all collaborate and have resources.
Yeah, I think that there's always like, well, you're going to take a, so it's not so much lifting for each, you know, one group. Each person can take a little bit and lift a little bit, and it actually ends up working out a lot better. Tell me about, so you mentioned fundraising and money, and so you have some events that you're upcoming that you want to start fundraising.
So for golfers out there, if you've heard of Honky Tonk, used to be River Watch, it's now owned by Kid Rock. The most beautiful golf course in the Southeast, is absolutely gorgeous. They have done some great improvements there. We are doing a big Honky Tonk golf fundraiser on October 2nd. It's going to be a shotgun start at 1 o'clock. And so we have all our dreamers will be, we'll have a dreamer on each hole. And so they'll get to dress up in whatever theme. It's kind of like Halloween for golfers. So the dreamers get to dress up, and you get your swag bag at your first hole, and then you get a golf swag item. And these are really cool swag items at each hole dropped into your bag. So the dreamers will be dropping in your swag at each hole. You'll get to learn a little bit about each of the dreamers and what their dreams for their life are and what we're trying to do with Dream Cooperative. And then that night we have a dueling piano show. So Felix and Fingers are coming. They're a famous group that do weddings. And if you haven't ever been to a dueling piano show, it is the funnest night of your life. And so you get to request your songs. We'll have a dinner. It's overlooking the lake at their new venue there at Honky Tonk. It's absolutely beautiful.
Where is this all in Nashville then?
No, Honky Tonk is down in Sparta.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it is beautiful.
Kid Rock owns a golf cart course in Sparta.
Yes,
Tennessee. That blows
my mind.
And
if you want to go down there and just eat, they have the best poke bowl around. They have the best food. They have two restaurants. It is a really great place to go and just visit, even if you're not a golfer.
Do people need a foursome for that event?
You don't. We are allowing individual golfers at this point to sign up. We have 10 teams confirmed. We need 18. So if you are an individual golfer and, you know, you need to be partnered up, we will do that. And so and you can have your significant other come for the piano show that night. So you can buy a separate ticket for that, and they can join you in the fun. And we'll have a silent auction as well with some really cool. We got some vacations to give away and some houseboat rentals and custom made guitar. One of our parents, Casey Breedlove, he has a YouTube channel called Pickers, something Pickers. But anyway, he has made a special guitar that is going to be silent auctioned off. So, and some quilts that some moms have made with the beautiful Tree of Life on it, which is our logo. So we're excited.
Yeah, that sounds like a super fun event. And it's different than what, you know, mm-hmm. working in the office, doing therapy, mm-hmm. you know, yes. being kind of yes. uses your other creative skills yes. to plan an event like that.
Yeah.
You also have an event coming up on September 26th.
Yes, so I just found out yesterday, First Methodist Church in Allgood, the pastor, Reverend Flood, he is hosting an individual that sings at perfect pitch, but is nonverbal. He has no communication on words, but he can sing perfect pitch. And so he's going to put on a concert there. We'll have our therapeutic drumming. And so that'll be in the evening at Allgood First Methodist.
So that's almost like a double. It's a fundraiser that mm-hmm. you get to put on, but also you get to have a concert for yeah. Your dreamers yes. that have been learning the drum.
Yes. We're
that's,
excited.
That's a pretty exciting. It just sounds like a lot of things are unfolding for
yes.
you. Where do you see kind of in 5 years from now, you know, aside from a community of, sure. of people living together,
sure.
where do you kind of see things being?
I would love for this to be mimicked in a lot of our smaller towns. Mm-hmm. I think that rural, especially Tennessee, McMinnville, Smithville, Livingston, you know, all these towns, we have so many families that are driving in for Rising Above events and they're driving in for therapy. And I would love to see this done in all the small towns so everyone has a community and a resource and a place to be. And maybe we pull in, you know, Rising Above, you know, many events there, and we do Dream Cooperative, and we have Exceptional Beans everywhere. You know, like,
yeah.
I just would love to see the awesome things we have going on in Cookeville be in some of these smaller rural towns in Tennessee.
Well, and that's, I think, you know, you've talked about it before. People were driving to your mm-hmm. 10th Street location mm-hmm. from,
all
you
over.
Know, Fentress County, Pickett mm-hmm. County, because it's the only mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are blessed enough to have the resources to be able to do
right,
that. It's
right.
to come, you know, drive an hour mm-hmm. to for an hour or two appointment mm-hmm. to drive back, you know. But not everybody's able to
no.
do that. And
I
so there's
most are not being served.
There, yeah. yeah. So, mm-hmm. you know, having being able to expand to our whole region mm-hmm. is a huge thing. You know, I think that is the hard thing sometimes with living in a rural area mm-hmm. is that you don't have all the resources of the big city. I don't want the big traffic. I don't mm-hmm. want a lot of the things of the big city, mm-hmm. but some of those resources are nice to have.
Absolutely.
And having, you know, people like you that have that dream of putting people mm-hmm. in these rural areas is a huge thing. It's a huge blessing to our community.
I think the number one thing I learned from Becky with Rising Above is isolation. You know, you mm-hmm. initially feel so isolated because mm-hmm. your life is going in a totally different direction than what you expected. And your friends may have typical children that can't, you know, don't play well or, you know, and so this would open up an immediate connection mm-hmm. and in a way for everyone to get together and be the community center, you know, for that.
Well, and I think, you know, being that isolation, you kind of were comparing with parents, mm-hmm. but even the individuals themselves, mm-hmm. you know, I think that CG has talked about this a lot is mm-hmm. that, you know, special needs adults have said to her, I don't have a place to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like I can go to a typical coffee shop because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm looked at or,
right.
you know, whatnot. And mm-hmm. there's not always accessibility issues mm-hmm. are sometimes a thing. Just having that, you know, initiative, this movement of mm-hmm. how can we serve our adult special needs community better than we have been?
Absolutely.
And like you said, you know, kind of we were talking earlier of just, it's crazy to me, but in the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. people were put in an institution to
yes.
sit in front of a TV for
yes.
hours a day.
Absolutely. It's sad. But we have come so far.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing to see. I've seen a lot in 28 years and,
yeah.
and that the treatments are so much better now. The therapies are better. The, you know, we know about nutrition and special diets. And so now I think this is the next step of a social movement to
yeah.
make their lives better.
I love it. So how can people find out more if they want to know more? Is there a website mm-hmm. they can go to?
Absolutely. We have a dreamcooperative.com website. You can email me at dreamcooperative1@gmail.com. And we're on all the socials. We're on Insta and Facebook.
And if people want to sign up for the events, if they want to attend the concert or sign up for the golf tournament, is that all from the website as well?
It's on the website. It's on our socials everywhere. And you can contact me, DM me, find me. I'm easy to find. I'm all over. But
fantastic.
But yes, there's a Zephy sign up. You can do everything online to sign up.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Heidi. I cannot wait to see what the Dream Cooperative does and where this is going. I'm excited.
Thank you.